For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. All the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, 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 for the record. For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's
right. Here we go in the Mount Woodsy studio here in Currumbin. Wow, what a day. Over 200,000 downloads. Thank you, everybody, for your ongoing support. We are forever grateful to all our sponsors, to all our guests. We could never thank you enough. Wow, I am absolutely over the moon, and I have a guest in with a story of redemption today that is going to blow your mind. His name is James Cassina. James Cassina is Chappelle Corby's half-brother. James, welcome to the Clink Stories of Redemption.
Thank you for having me on the show.
It's an absolute honour. For those of you that don't know James Cassina, James is the half-brother of Chappelle Corby. James was in Bali with Chappelle. He was on that flight, which we'll get into in a little bit later. James, let's go back and give everybody a bit of an insight. You're a young fella. You're growing up in Logan. What was it like for you growing up?
Well, I grew up in a normal household, just running around, having fun.
Was it more like a housing commission environment?
Yeah. We lived in housing commission in Logan Lea. Yeah, my father lived around the corner in Logan Lea too.
So, you share the same mother as to Chappelle and Michael Mercedes, and is there another brother as well?
Yeah, Clinton. And Mally. We all got the same mother.
Okay.
Different dads.
Yeah. Okay. And how did that go for you?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. Fun. Mum was always hard on us, especially me because I was naughty.
Were you all tight, brother and sisters?
We argued there's always little arguments, fights and that here and there, but no, it was always tight. Mercedes really held down because she's the oldest, so I look up to, she looked after me a lot as a kid.
Mum, was she a hard-working mum, and was she a single sort of parent raising all you kids?
Yeah, she was a single mum, had a boyfriend, Greg, that was a father figure for me too, and Chappelle and Michael's dad, and Mercedes' dad was a father figure for me too, and also I had my real father too.
And what was that like? What was your dad like?
Yeah, well, back in the day I heard stories because he was 40, he was over 40 when he had me.
Oh, wow.
And I heard he was, just a wild boy.
Wow.
So he was running, and there wasn't too many Tongans around busy back those days.
Really?
No. Nah.
So it wasn't as multicultural as what it is now, especially out in the area of Logan and out that
way? Nah, there wasn't many at all.
So, James, you went to school in Logan?
Yep.
High school? You have a big group of friends?
Yeah, a lot of friends.
And what was the sort of things that you were involved with? Were you playing sports or anything like that, playing footy? Or
I never really played sports as a young... Oh, yeah, I did, but I wasn't confident.
Okay.
I've always had this... I was always just have been unconfident and...
I got to say, that's pretty interesting you say that because you're not like that with your business today, and I think that's something that impresses me is... the drive that you have and the way that you think and look at things you want.
I wish I had this mindset now. I had this growing up. I just had to make a choice. Care what people think or don't and just go fucking straight for it.
Yep.
So it's... And I just made that choice. I just haven't turned back since. There's sometimes where it comes to me, that thought, and I start caring and I'll just have to stay focused and just back yourself. Believe in yourself and just go hard.
When you say back yourself and believe in yourself, you have definitely been put in some very testing situations growing up. One in particular, which, the world obviously knew about to a point, but never really truly knew, I guess, the side that you, the James Cassina side, did they?
Nah.
James, you got on a plane. You were 16.
Yeah, correct.
You were flying to Bali for a family holiday?
When that occurred, when we got off that flight, my life changed dramatically from there on.
You're on a flight, 6 hours?
Yeah, six.
You're excited. Six, you're looking forward to having quality time. Mm. Bali's a great place. We've all been there. You got off the plane to a welcoming committee like no other.
Yeah, no, it was crazy. Alrighty. We got off the plane. I was tired because that's the first time I flew that long. And, yeah, tired. We made our way, going through all the customs. It takes time. And they take, you know, it is over in Bali. They take their time.
You got to go and pay your money to get through into the country.
And plus, they just take their time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then we made our way to get our luggage and that. And Chappelle, the bodyboard bag.
So you and Chappelle were traveling together?
Yeah, me, Chappelle, Katrina, and Ali. Chappelle's two friends.
Yep.
And then, we grabbed our bags, and then we were looking for Chappelle's, because we had to wait for the excess baggage, like the bodyboard bag.
Oh, it didn't come out on the normal carriage?
Nah.
Okay.
That was, and then, yeah, that come, and then we're over there, and then I'm like, oh, I'll go grab it. I'll meet you there, because I just wanted to get out of there.
Yeah.
And then I walked over there carrying my bag too, and then I dragged the... They had already a spot there, so we're going to get out quick.
Yes.
And then I walked over, waited there a little bit. There was a few more people. And then bang, we're in there. And then I've gone, thrown the boogie board up, and then he's gone through the bag. I'm like, oh, here we go.
So they've called you straight over. Have they, as you go through to check your bags coming in? Or?
Nah. We just tried to find the shortest line.
Yep.
And then we just went straight to there.
Yeah.
And then, then after he's searched the bags, and then he's opened up the bodyboard bag. Oh, Chappelle helped.
Yep.
Because I walked off, I'm like, oh, this is going to take ages.
Yeah.
And then, not as in walked off, just walked off and just away from the bag. Yeah, all I saw Chappelle go back like that. And
so she just complete surprise on her face, shocked.
Yeah, just shocked. And then I'm like I'm just so frustrated. Like, I just want to get out of here. And then I know we've got to go wait outside for how long. So I'm just frustrated. And then I'm like, and then people come in, and he's gone and said, wait here. And I'm like, oh, what's going on? He took the bag.
So the bag as in the whole bag or the just whole, the whole contents bag. Of the bag? So the whole bag's been removed from your viewing.
Mm.
You didn't even get to see what was actually in that bag at that stage?
Oh, I'm trying to remember.
It is a long time ago. Yeah, I mean, you were 16.
Mm. They just took the whole bag.
Yep.
So in saying that, we could have walked off. Like, I mean, the whole people that were checking the custom officers, just four of them just left.
So there was no one there looking after you? There's no security, nothing?
So we could have went.
That's bizarre.
People were just walking through too.
And at this stage, what, there was no commotion?
It was over 5 minutes easy, because I'm like, we'll go wait here, and then they come back. They go, oh, you come with us, come with us. And then that's when they took us into a room in the airport, and then we see the bag there, and then they're like, but they weren't really, they're like, whose bag's this? And then first off, they're pointing at me and all that. And they're like, whose bag is this? And then Chappelle's like, oh, that's my bag. And then we're just like, no, we've never seen that before.
Yeah.
And and then just from then on, just custom office. At one stage, it could have been like 30 plus police, wow, custom, just coming, taking samples out. And yeah, for like just, we'll probably there for like 4 or 5 hours.
So the bag was open and they were taking, different people were taking what's, should be a crime scene.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're just helping themselves to what was in there, obviously buds.
Yeah, just a big bag of weed. And
that right there is bizarre.
And I'm at this stage, we're just sitting there, like just thinking it's going to go past. We're waiting for Mercedes and her husband at the time.
Were they living there, were they?
Yeah.
Yep.
They were staying there. They kept asking, whose bag is this? Chappelle's like, oh, it's mine. They were like, why were you holding it? And I was just carrying it. And just repeating that repeatedly for hours. They put us in a police car. Then we went to another police, I think it was like a police holding place.
So did anybody come and seal up the bag or anything like that, or was it just... So it was left there and you guys were just taking away and they were just walking away with it free in their hands and...
Yeah.
Well, this is after people had come and helped themselves to the bag.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, they do things a lot different over there.
Oh, look, and let's be honest, you know, like you don't know these things till you hear it directly from the horse's mouth. I mean, you know, everybody can assume of what happened or what took place, but when you're there, that's a completely different story. And
After a few hours, Katrina and Ali could leave. They're like, I used to abstain. Then I'm like, okay, then this might be... I'll wait till Merck gets here and then it'll be all sorted or whatever. They took me and Chappelle to the Bali holding. It's like a Bali polder, it's called. It's kind of like a watch house type place.
Okay, so it's not your normal police days, like a jail? It's like a like police, a transit
yeah.
And how was that? How did you feel walking in there?
Walking in there, I was still a bit in awe, tired. At the same time, thinking, is this really happening? Like, and it didn't really hit me until late, like when we're there for a few hours, and I'm like, this is serious now. Like this is serious. People coming up trying to take photos through the like roof and that.
When you say up through the roof, I mean, did they have access to the building? Was media already told or?
Yeah, media was definitely told because it was packed.
This is on the same night.
Yeah.
So you've literally sat in that room for hours. You've been taken from the airport to now the watch house, as you called it. Yeah. Well, sorry, what was it called in Bali?
Bali Polder.
Bali Polder. Next minute, you're held in rooms again?
Yeah.
Separated or they keep you together?
They kept us together. At this time too, we're getting, you come with me and... You come, no, and Chappelle's saying, no, you're staying with me, you know, we stay together. Then I'm 16, I'm like, yeah, I'm staying here. Like, it was a bit, people kept trying to split us up, take us, you know, we just going, we want our older sister here.
Were you scared?
Well,
like, seriously, you're in a foreign country. You've been arrested now for what you now knew as drugs.
Well, I was scared, but I was pretty naive now that I think about it.
Yeah.
I was pretty naive, like it's not ours, man. We're going,
yeah,
you know.
It's all
but
good. Yep.
Like I was just that naive. Like my sister will be here, and then
everything will be okay.
Yeah, and then that didn't happen because when she did get there, and then my mum, she's like, James, you both have to go, and they're gonna take you to another place, and you just have to stay there till tomorrow until we get lawyers. And then that's when I started. Gone.
So, Merck's obviously come there to collect you both, to take you to your holiday destination, correct?
Mm.
Then she's confronted with her two siblings in custody.
Yeah.
Surely that must have freaked her out as well. You know, like everything then sort of fell back on her, didn't it?
Yeah, well, she would have been, yeah.
You know, you guys had to have her support to be able to...
100%.
That first night in custody, did you sleep?
Nah, we didn't sleep. Very little. I remember just comforting her and she was comforting me.
So you're both very upset
and
wondering about what was going to take place?
We weren't. It was maybe because of the flight too, jet lag, tired and just thinking, what's going on here? But that was, for me, the afternoon, I'm pretty sure I left. And that was pretty sad. And I'm thinking, oh, now I feel bad leaving Chappelle on her own.
When you say you'd left, talk us through that. How did that process happen and you be all of a sudden taken away from your sister?
We'll go back to Bali Polder.
Yep.
We're there and it was just going on and on. We're there for hours. Just going back and forth. But it was all in Balinese, so Mercedes and Wion, they were talking on our behalf, so we didn't know what's going on. And just a lot of police officers coming in, but even at the same time then and there, they're walking back and forth just grabbing stuff, trying to grab me, and then still at the same time too, and then Mercedes at this time, she's there, she's like, no.
I find
he's
it hard.
He's a minor. He's a minor.
Yeah. And also, too, I find it hard how they could get a complete weight of what amount was there.
Yeah.
If all these hands are getting put through the bag.
Well, looking back now, man, it was pretty crazy. Eh? Like, it's 20 from the custom offices in here, over 20 people. That's not exaggerating. Just come, like, it was just. Like, even though they come and take it out, look, and, oh, take this to the lab and on. Well,
I mean, how many lab samples do you need? I mean, you know, let's be honest. I don't want to.
Yeah. Well, but even fingerprinting,
it's all,
you know?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's all like, said and done now.
I mean, like.
But there's no. The forensics of it is absolutely no contaminated.
Yeah.
You know, like any opportunity of proving that, you know, you guys. What the contents were, how much, you know, prints and DNA, that must have just gone all out the window.
Yeah, all gone, all out.
So you were released the following day, were you?
Yeah, I was released the following day, afternoon.
Did you want to go, James? I mean, I get it. You're in custody for, you know, a very serious crime over there, but did you want to leave your sister?
Well, I did, but I didn't too.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was thinking, she's going to be not long after me.
So your whole mindset was, she's coming home anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was like, oh, I'll see you soon.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And do you think Chappelle sort of felt that as well at the time? That, well, yeah, was it, well, more a bit
the
more
lawyers,
real for her?
The lawyers said, kind of, because we had lawyers come in the next day and we'll relaying with them. They'll relaying the message, going back and forth, talking to the police officers, and I'm pretty sure she was thinking the same thing too, you know, like, it's good, or they can, you know, fingerprint it, or they can get some forensic stuff.
Yeah, there was some sort of positive thought there that this can be fixed.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to be okay.
Yeah, and then from there on, it was just crazy.
A nightmare, would you call it? Especially for the family?
Yeah, it was a nightmare for the family. All our lives changed then. Especially for Chappelle.
Yeah.
And Mercedes. Oh, everyone. Mercedes.
Did you have to leave the country straight after you were released? Like, were you told that you had to leave? Or?
No, I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty sure, I could leave. But I didn't leave straight away. I'm pretty sure.
How long were you there after that?
Maybe a week.
Yep. And had you gone back and forth and seen Chappelle, or Merck was sort of doing that sort of thing, keeping you out of the limelight?
Yeah, it was just Merck, Mercedes and Wyon.
Mm. And you were just sort of basically hoping that your sister was going to come home, obviously.
Well, it was like every day. And then next minute I'm on the plane back home to Brizzy, and it's just...
How did that feel, leaving her there?
Sad. I don't want to sound selfish, but I was just happy to be out of there, but I wanted my sister out too.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Like, if I knew now, I would have said it was mine. You know, if I knew now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've always been a strong-willed person too, so yeah, I can't change the past.
No, we can't change the past, and the past is what brings us to, you know, stories of redemption, and, you know, allows us to be able to talk about things like this, because there is no story of redemption without mistake. You're back in Australia. Everybody obviously knows what's going on.
Yeah,
it's world news.
Mm.
How was life for you then?
Just from then on, my mum, everyone, just focus on Chappelle. You know, they were caught up traveling, trying to get money up for lawyer fees. So I was really, sometimes mum would be most of the time at Bali, so I'm really just doing my own thing.
Did it become a little bit of a lonely trip for you?
Probably be a kid's dream. For me, I just had no direction. When we could, I always go back when we could afford it. I'll go back over there for a holiday to see her and that. But yeah, I had to go back to explain what happened when I carried the bag, and it was very vital. So what they did, the lawyers said, mine, it's important that I really am phased, that I was an important part in the case, because they said Chappelle carried the bag. I'm pretty sure she didn't.
Yeah, you've straight up said that you're the one that picked the bag up. Yeah. And
when they zip, because I remember Chappelle going like that,
yep,
going back and going, and then just pointing. And that was very vital in the case.
And it wasn't used in court?
Nah, they couldn't, because I was her brother. Yeah, or something silly like that. I can't.
Really?
It was something silly. They threw it out because, yeah, but they couldn't use it.
How did you feel going back, going there and being in court? I mean, from Australia, we always seen that, you know, it was just a jam-packed area, and it was looked horrific, you know, seeing Chappelle getting dragged in and out of the cages.
Yeah,
and
just,
were you able to get close to her, or were they made sure that you couldn't get to her to talk to her before you went into court? Or
no, that was all good, because at this time she was already been in for like a year.
Yeah.
And, it could have been longer. And, yeah, I was just, yeah, it's hard. Definitely hard, because we rehearse with the lawyers, and if they ask this, if they, you know what I, so there's a bit of pressure there too, so you don't want to stuff up and.
Oh, really? But, so for you, it wasn't just like going into a courtroom here where you're pretty well.
Well, I'm gonna tell the truth anyway, but like there's just other stuff, like they will try to, it's. You know what it's like in there. It's like a game. There's a lot of, plus the dodginess of some of the lawyers we come across too, that they seem like good people, and then.
Did you find that there was people out there that were willing to rob you and basically take your money and really didn't have a genuine interest in seeing Chappelle free?
Yeah, we got played.
You did?
Me as a young kid, they take us out to dinner. Big fancy house in Bali, you know. They're good people.
Right.
And then, they just, it's all about the money.
And is this like
I don't know how they make their money, but.
Yeah. A Balinese, actual Balinese barrister, or?
He was actually Indian, this fella. Who knows? If we had money, could have paid him off.
Was there ever an option for that?
Nah,
was there any suggestion at any time that. You know, something could have been.
I'm not sure if they, looking back now, you would have paid fucking.
Oh, for 10 years.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's.
Yeah, exactly.
Far.
That's crazy.
But yeah, it's.
Do you remember that moment, James, when the sentencing was handed down?
Yeah.
The world's watching you and your family. Chappelle's there in court, and she gets handed a sentence.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that. What was that like?
Yeah, that was pretty hard, especially on the family. I was... Where was I? Fuck, I was joking around then. I said, you'll make me cry.
Oh, brother. You all right? It's all good, brother. Don't stress. It was a fuck part of the life, eh?
Yeah, no.
Looking at you now, I can just see how much pain it's been over the years. And
well, I've never really looked at it as pain.
Do you think because just the family and the strength and what you represent?
Well, just the sentencing. That's what really hit. And, you know, plus being televised. Just
looking and publicly seeing that's your family, that's your sister. Mm.
Yeah, just looking at your family on the news, especially of sentencing.
Yep.
And then, you know, every Tom, Dick and Harry have their opinion.
Yeah.
And that's, I remember, I was sitting there and I think I was still in school.
Yep.
But I was, it was me and my cousin, we were sitting there lying on the couch. Yeah, and then she got sentenced and that, and then that's when I was...
It hit you hard. Do you think the reality
just,
of that moment is something... Like, I look at you now and I can see how much it's hurt it hurt you. I mean, you're a grown man and many years later and you're still upset and emotional.
I didn't realise how much it hurt, you know?
Yep.
Until now. Fuck.
Yep. And I've got to say, having you come on here and lay your heart out is huge. And that's what this is about, you know, sharing the truth and the story of redemption. I mean, you're here, you've just made yourself vulnerable, you know, shown your heart.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, that's when... Yeah, and then from there, I was like, wow, I was kind of in anger.
Were you angry at the system? Or angry at just everything that took place and how it happened?
Yeah, just angry. Fuck, I know, I was just lost.
It's a big thing. Mm. It's huge. You know, to be...
But I was young, just young and naive too, you know, like...
And I suppose in that sense too, you know, you're not thinking of being put in that situation, are you? You're not thinking of sitting there watching your sister deteriorate in a prison cell over many, many, many years and, you know, thinking about what she's going through and how much, you know, she's just getting torn apart in there mentally and emotionally.
Yeah, she had a hard time in there, that's for sure.
What do you remember about that?
See, Bali become like my second home, you know, like every opportunity I'll get, I'll try and go over and see her. Now going back, I'd try and use the anger as energy, like, and I still do it to this day.
Do you think, honestly, that Chappelle had a fair trial?
No way in the world.
And do you think that's what made you angry and sort of hurt you so much, is knowing that you couldn't do a thing to help her?
Maybe.
It was just out of your hands.
I was just angry that she was in there.
Yeah, of course.
And people's opinions.
When you talk, and you and I have talked about this before, and can we speak openly about it?
Yeah.
I don't think people understand. We talk about, you know, bullying and people's hurtful words and stuff. But the amount of flack that came back upon you and your family and Chappelle and
see, I didn't really care about me, because they was going around, oh, their brother did it, you know, like, it was like, but me, I just, like, fuck, I don't give a, don't care.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't want people talking bad about your family. It's just,
not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all, and especially when you're dealing with something like that. Well, and look, let's be honest, okay? And let's really be honest here. I can't. What was it? 4 kilos, was it?
Yeah, four.
Okay.
4.2
minus the other, however much was taken out by everybody else. If you were caught with that in Australia, you'd be lucky if you even got a jail sentence. Look, a crime's committed. Whoever owned it, if you're caught with something in Australia or, you know, other countries even too, I mean, you got to respect, obviously, the laws of that country.
Yeah.
But you would expect a fair trial, especially if you're
exactly
pleading
right.
Not guilty.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're confronted with, like you said, solicitors back and forth, ripping you off, you were destined to fail from the beginning, weren't you? Like, realistically, what was the chances of a drug charge like that, world recognition, your sister's in custody, you've walked away with the bag, but yet you're not there. So did you feel like a bit of guilt of why is Chappelle there and why haven't they let it go?
I think, you know, I would have, like, now thinking, like, I would have put my hand up for it
and just said it was mine.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder what would have happened at 16. Whether the law being a juvenile, whether it would have been different, you know, would you have...
Probably would have got 40.
Far out. No. I mean, but you know what I'm saying. You know, like, you're a naive young man. You know, and so much went into it, but so much could have gone into the investigation, both here in Australia and also overseas. I think pretty well everything that was even attempted from Australia was blocked, wasn't it? In helping
all the Australia didn't want to help anyway. I love Australia.
Yeah.
We're lucky, you know, I truly believe we're blessed to be living in Australia.
Yeah.
You know, there's always going to be politics and whatnot, but I don't hate or I don't love the government. I just zero care. Like, you know, I don't even vote. I'm like, what's it got to do with me? you know, like, I know that's the way I think of it. I make my own way. I'm not going to rely on no government, but I still got to respect the rules in this country. The reason why I was angry when everyone had opinions on my family, I can't go around, oh, what would you say, you know, like, or whatever, comment. Back then there was no social media, but I can't go around chasing them all up. That's why I've got to succeed.
And just slap everyone in the face with success.
That's right, man.
Brother. Take a moment, brother. You're good. It's all good. You let me know if you want to pull up, man. Everything happens for a reason, bro. You were meant to come down and open up, eh? Hey, you've been carrying a bit, haven't you, lately? What do they say? Your glass is fucking full. Hey, my bro? Glass is full for you at the moment. Are you comfortable, buddy? Okay?
Yeah. I'm just like, fuck.
We've never sat down and really talked about it, have you?
You're my new counsellor.
I got you, my bro. Give me some love, my man. Fuck. But, you know, I've got to once again say I really am grateful for you wearing your heart on your sleeve. Like, you know, these are things that are very hard to talk about. You're showing emotion, you're showing...
Yeah, well, I haven't cried like this since I was a fucking kid.
And you know what? Fuck. It's all right to cry, mate. You know, this is the thing. People don't realise trauma has a massive effect. What you guys went through as a family, what you went through as a 16-year-old young boy. You're a grown man now with four sons of your own.
Yeah, fuck.
You know, soon enough they'll be teenagers. And you'll be looking at them, you know, wondering, you boys going to play up? Are you going to be good? Or
Nah, they're not going to learn the hard way.
They're not going to learn the hard way, are they?
Shortcut. No, well, that's why it's my duty too, you know.
And it is your duty.
To teach them from what's right and wrong and guide them on their journey of life.
Did you ever have any problems coming back, going back and forth into Australia or Bali when, you know, did the government, or because, I mean, obviously they knew who you were, knew why you were going.
It was funny, eh? Like, people thought I was like this big-time drug dealer or something. But I was going out one night and I had a little bit of cocaine on me. I was going out to the clubs. And then the police pulled me up at the servo. They're like, oh, what are you doing? I was waiting for my mate and I was having a meat pie. And they're like, oh, I'm dressed up in like skinny jeans, shirt and shorts. Like, oh, and I'm just around the corner from my house because I live near the servo. I was waiting for Sam.
Okay.
Because Sam worked in the clubs back then.
Yeah.
He goes, I'll come through. I'm like, yeah, sweet, yeah, I'll come through.
Yeah.
And then I'm sitting there eating my pie, waiting for him. Then the unmarked police car rocks up. Oh, hey, sir, you're right. I go, yeah, I'm just waiting for my ride. And then they jump out. Go, any weapons on you? And I'm like, oh, fuck, I doubt anything can fit in. Like these jeans.
Tight little pockets.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, can you empty out your pockets for us? And I'm like, oh, yeah, fine. And this was where I used to box at. His son trains there and I used to see him there. He's like, oh, James, you're still boxing? And I'm like, oh, yeah, a little bit here and there. And then he's like, oh, okay. Yeah, talking. So he knew us too. So I'm just thinking, okay, here's my phone, here's my... Thing, they're like, oh, do you mind if we pat you down and check your pockets? I'm like, well, yeah, right. And boom, I ran. I took off. Because I was on suspended sentence,
too. Hot shoe shuffle.
And then because I can't run that fast, and I'm zigzagging, like, dodging the taser gun and that. And then, anyway, they caught up with me. The car come cut in front, and I rolled over. But as he's got me down on the ground, and the dude's like, oh, take it easy. And he's like, nah, don't worry about this one. This dude's big time. I'm like.
So you were copping that sort of attitude. Obviously, coming back, it must have changed you as a person.
Yeah, no, it did.
And you continued to rebel a bit, didn't you?
I was angry.
Is that when you started going back to jail in Australia as well?
Well, no, that was just, I just wish I had a good mentor to direct my energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just lost. But there's a lot of kids in the same place, but they didn't go through the circumstance that I did, obviously. But, yeah, just lost no direction. Oh, let's go get drunk, take it out on alcohol, and just waste time, really.
So you obviously did some short jail sentences and the same time whilst Chappelle was in jail overseas. I'm sure that would have been tough on the family as well because, you know, not only they got Chappelle over there, but you're here.
Yeah, my parents weren't happy, that's for sure.
I can imagine. Mm. And how did that go down?
Yeah, it was just silly mistakes. Well, you know, I was at this stage just watching all gangster films, you know, Scarface, and, like, just...
So you really thought that you were this fucking pumped up sicko, like, mad fucking gangster, but, you know, like, I mean, let's not bullshit, man. I'm sitting here listening to your story and I'm thinking, all right, well, let's just fucking lay it down, mate. You wanted to be a fucking sick fucking, you know, gangster, didn't you? Hey, that's all you thought about. You thought, this is good. This is who I'm going to be, and everyone will fucking think I'm the Dom Perignon and whatever else, you know. Yeah. But it wasn't to be, was it? That wasn't the fucking reality of your life whatsoever, was it? Yeah. And jail wasn't all that you know, would think it was. It was a tough time for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had a few dramas in there.
Yep.
It's but I never let it broke me or affect me.
Yeah. Did you find it hard walking into a jail when everybody had already known... No, you know, the name and your connection to
Chappelle. Yeah, it was all over the news.
That's what I mean.
So, but when I first walked in, it was like have you seen The Longest Yard when Adam Sandler walks in?
Yeah, yep.
So it was exactly like that. So they were waiting for me because it's all over the news. They all look for the new people coming through.
Wow.
And then I walked out and just think, what's jail? I've only seen it on TV And then I just see everyone, like, training in the yard, and they all just rush up. Hey, you're Corby's brother, or Corby, hey, brother. Like, and I'm just like, then the screws, like, don't say nothing, keep walking.
Did you feel a bit nervous at that stage?
Oh, yeah, I was nervous, but at the same time, I was thinking, I was, you know, fuck, I don't care what happens, you know, like. But, you know, I was pretty naive and trying to be a tough dude too.
Yeah.
So, it was pretty, they chucked me on a plan where I wasn't allowed to leave the unit, like a safety plan for a
high risk.
Yeah.
Yep.
High profile prisoner, they call it. Yeah.
Yep.
And
that sort of goes against you sometimes, doesn't it? Because like, it's they've got a duty of care and this is what they do. High profile matters and stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, which makes it a little bit difficult because everyone's, oh, why aren't you coming out? Why aren't you coming out?
Yeah. But no, then once I could, I was only a week in that week, I think it was a week or two. And then, go out and play touch and mingle and that.
So you got out of jail?
Got out of the jail. Then my mate rings me up, oh, got a job for you. I make sure you're there. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, sweet, sweet. Ricky's labouring.
Yep.
And then just from there, just work, and that's where I built, work ethic.
Speaking of work ethic, and, you know, we'll move away from the whole Bali sort of thing now because I think that, you know, that's been quite a sensitive issue for you. Is there anything else?
I'm relaxed now.
You're all right now? You really, anything else you want to add to that?
Well, I did say about the opinion because now looking back, I'm like, that's why I was tearing up,
Aaron,
because I felt helpless. Like I had no platform to express all these people to talk about my family and have an opinion, but I can't.
You couldn't reply to it.
Mm.
Yep.
So.
Did you feel a bit funny when you're in public?
Because.
Just from all those opinions you know, I mean, you fucking could have been the person walking past you that wrote something, you know?
But when it's face to face. It's like anything in life. I'm guilty of it too.
Yeah, we all are.
I'm like, stuff this dude. Then you meet him. Oh, he's actually a not bad dude. we're all guilty of it, but some people are just plain ignorant and mean. I think most times when I went and visited Chappelle, I would cry in there.
Really?
Yeah.
When you... did?
Because I'm not usually a big choir.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Was it more emotional for you?
Just seeing her in there, so around that. So when you go and visit...
Yep. Can you talk to us about that? Can we talk about that, what it's like to go in and visit somebody in there?
You have to wait long. You just pay your money. You just pay your way in.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's for quicker. So you get in quicker.
So it is corrupt.
Well, if you call that corrupt. Yeah, well, it's...
I mean, look, Chappelle's home now. Yeah. No one can get in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not going back to Bali in any time soon.
Oh, no, I'm due for a surf trip. Don't worry about that.
Mentawis might be the best way to go this time.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I'm coming with you.
Fuck,
let's go. But in all seriousness, did you see a lot of backhand stuff in the visit?
Oh, yeah, well...
Like, how does it work? Share it with
you
us.
You just pay your money and then go in the back, like, jump out of queue.
So what about... So those people that couldn't afford to pay that money would just wait all day?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's it. But maybe foreigners, maybe they do it a lot with foreigners, so they'll keep you there. They'll just won't make you wait for 2 hours, 3 hours.
What happened when you're in there?
So it's pretty horrendous. Like, it's... You sit on the floor, heaps of packs. So I'll be touching the person next to me, like...
So back to back?
So, yeah, back to back with other people.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's... Yeah, no.
So you can't really...
You can hear them talking.
That's what I was going to
so
say.
So, like, we're here, like... So I'd be like this... You know what I mean? Like, it's... Yeah, so very...
Very impersonal.
Yeah.
Do you think all those times that you went and visited Chappelle as well gave you a reality check of how bad life can be?
Well, I never looked at it as bad because no matter what, I always look at other people's situations...
But what I mean is, I guess in that situation, was there, okay, you could go in
and
there
compare
and you could take food in, you could take toiletries and all that. Surely there must have been poor people in there that literally
just
turned up and couldn't get a can of Coke couldn't afford
the
a bag
family.
Of rice.
But Mercedes and Chappelle, they looked after a lot of other prisoners too.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, there's a lot of other tourists in there and they got no help at all. So, yeah. Yeah,
did you get to meet a lot of those people?
Yeah, I met them all. Then Andrew and
Sukumar.
Yeah. Yeah, he painted my oldest son.
Wow.
It's an artwork.
And you still have that artwork?
I've still got that artwork, yeah. That's sentimental.
Of course.
I mean, yeah, that's...
And you've said to me before that they were a big part of Chappelle.
Yeah, they...
Being able to find a bit of peace.
Yeah, they helped her out a lot.
Unfortunately, they've passed on now.
Yeah, no, those... They did the crime. They didn't give anyone up. They took responsibility.
Yeah.
And they showed honour, integrity and loyalty, which they did better themselves in there.
Well, they repented, didn't they?
They helped other prisoners too, like just make the right choices and... Yeah. Chappelle's really close with them.
Yeah.
But
that would have had a lot of effect on her knowing.
She
lost two good mates. Mm.
Yeah, she
because
was.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, they've lived and supported each other through the toughest times in their lives.
I can't believe this day and age, firing squad.
There was no guarantee that Chappelle was ever going to survive in there and keep home.
No.
Was there, really?
Yeah, she went through a tough...
That's what I mean. Like, period. Anything could have happened. I mean, you know, her mental health could have suffered to the point where she may not have made it.
Mm.
She could have got, you know, stabbed by somebody else in there that just didn't like her for whatever reason. You just don't know, you know. And I've got to say, I give her the utmost credit in the world for going through what she went through. And I don't even know the in-depths of what she had to suffer. And I mean, only you guys as family would know. But, you know, for anybody, especially in a foreign country, and a female, to have done 10 years of their life, you just can't imagine it.
She's definitely...
How is she today?
She's gone good.
So she's doing her clocks and stuff like that?
Yeah, doing her clocks. She really enjoys that. And
therapeutic for her, you think?
Yeah, therapeutic and... she's doing good.
Dancing on the star, Dance with the Stars.
Oh, that's right. She's on the Channel 7 show, isn't she? Yeah. Can she dance?
I actually think she could take it out.
Yeah? Oh, really?
She used to dance as a kid.
So she's a dancer.
We'll soon find out.
Good on her. Well, I mean, Chappelle, if you hear this, we're wishing you all the best anyway. Yeah. Wish you nothing but greatness.
But, yeah, that's why, that's what, even till now, I just felt like, that's why I have to succeed.
You're going
to
show them up, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I've got to.
And I must say, credit to you. You're flipping the coin now. You've redeemed yourself in a lot of ways. You're a father, four beautiful boys.
Yep.
So you're a role model, leader, a father figure. And you're out there and you've created your own brand. Yeah. You've created a really, really cool platform. Mm. And I enjoyed coming up there. I can't wait to come back again. And for those of you that don't know, James has started an amazing business in the food game, and it's all to do around hot dogs, foot-long hot dogs. Yeah. Are we calling them German?
Well, they're German sausages.
German sausages.
But in Logan, not many people knew what German sausages were. So.
Well, in Logan, it would have been like Campbelltown. It's a fucking red hot dog in between a bun. <Yeah. laughs> So, it's as good as sausage and mash, isn't it?
What I'm trying to create, I still haven't seen it done in Australia. Like, just a urban hot dog joint, good quality.
So let's talk vibes. About it. Let's talk about it. What is the job? What is it that you've done and created? Because
just a brand built around fun and good quality.
I love your
hot
logo.
Dogs.
Your logo is cool.
Yeah, well, he's been through some redemption himself. You know, I got the. You know what I mean?
It's a very cool logo, and I think what we'll do is we'll chuck it up so everyone can see. But the shop is called King's Footlong.
King's Footlong German Sausages.
And it's a cool little character, isn't it? Mm. How'd you come up with that?
Well, I had to build something that was catchy and cool that I could potentially franchise.
Yep, and you definitely are on your way planning for that franchise, aren't you?
Yeah, still a lot of hard work ahead of me, and I just got to keep being creative and just keep trying to improve everything every day.
Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I'm loving it.
You know, the pressure's on. You're really putting hard yards in.
Yeah.
As well as being a great dad.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's hard to balance the two, that's for sure.
And four sons. So, I mean, that's that's a handful there. I've got three, but I've got a bit of a gap between them. Yeah. How do you find being a dad?
It's challenging but fun and just you know what it's like.
I do.
But now that I'm more this year, this me that I'm, because I'm on this personal growth journey, I really want to be present with my kids' life and in the now. Because before I used to think, next year I'm going to do more stuff, or next week I'm going to do this with the kids. But I never did it. I was just always work.
But now, I think we've all made that mistake. I'm guilty of it, you know, and I got to be honest with you, you know, my young fellas every morning, Dad, can you take me for a swim at the beach? And it's like, oh, you know, the waves are too big or there's too much water.
Yeah.
You know what? I got to be honest, sometimes that's bullshit, you know. I'm probably being lazy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, and
right,
I'm man enough to admit it. You know, it takes a lot to be a present dad.
And even just put your phones away.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing I have. If I've got my kids, if I'm doing work stuff, but zero social media, and just really, if I do have to send a message or make a phone call, I'd do that. But then other than that, it's just really enjoying their company. And
so as they grow older, they're going to have a really good sort of tight brother.
They'll be tight. And that's what I want. They can all rely on each other, respect each other, and be there for one another.
You can only do that by you teaching them.
Yeah, and showing it.
And hard
showing
work as
too.
Well.
Yeah, hard work. I want to emphasize that right now at this age.
Look, I personally just want to say to you that I think what you're doing is great. It is inspiring. You are doing a lot of good things in the community. You're providing a safe place for people to come. And, you're a caring man that actually gives a damn about the community that you're around. And it's not just there as a business to take from the community. You give a lot back.
Yeah. Well, I would like to give a lot more back and do a lot more things. But for now, for that, you need money. And for now, I just need to build my company up to as big as I can as possible.
What do you see in the future, James?
My end-of-year goal is which I want another shop.
long-term goal is like a King's Footlong is like a household name. In Logan, it's where I grew up. It's what I'm passionate about. And I just see potential everywhere.
Will you keep that there as your mother float?
Yeah, that'll be the mother.
The mother store. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, I just see potential. I see these young kids walking around. I just see me, you know, like walking around just up to mischief and just bored.
Well, you never had that King's Footlong to go to and hang out at, did you?
Yeah.
What would you say to James Casina that was 16 today? Like, if you could sit down and have him across the side of this table, what would you say to him? There you go.
Give him a big slap.
I'll put you right on the spot, haven't I? But it's true. I would love to know because, you know, I think it's important.
I'd have to take him under my wing.
So a lot more leadership, more support and guidance?
Yeah, guidance. And a lot more... I'd break it down, like, what are you into? What do you want to be? Oh, I don't know. What are you good at?
Yep.
And then, okay, let's go there. Well, this is what we're going to do then. Boom, you're going to go box, you're going to train, you're going to read, and you're going to start work. And don't worry about school. And then we'll figure out, we can find your talents and what you're good at and what you want to pursue. And then from there on, what you want to do, you become the best at it and you can just work on that. Dedicate the next 5 years to it.
That's not a bad thing, actually, focusing on what you are good at.
Yeah.
We've had this conversation with other guests in the show, and they've been mentors, you know, that have lived troubled life. And the way that they look at things and trying to help the next generation is finding their strengths as opposed to putting them in positions where they don't like it.
Yeah.
They're not going to go to school every day of the week or go and do this that you want them to do if they don't have a genuine passion. Like I've said it before, if the guy's a mad car thief, get him into mechanics or building cars.
Yeah.
You know, he'll probably be the best mechanic around. I think that society really needs to understand that these days, that, you know, instead of putting people down and putting our kids down and the youth of today is start offering them something that actually attracts them, that they can have a genuine connection with. It's definitely something that you just go, fuck, why would I want to be doing that?
Mm. Yeah, and fast-tracking it. Like, now I'm 33, you know, like, if I had this mindset at 16... You're a billionaire at 33.
You're sitting here now because you're meant to be.
This is
your path.
Yeah, I know that for a fact.
You know, so we can all sit back and, you know, even my situation in my life, I could sit there and say, fuck, you know, it could have been different, but I wouldn't be here with you. I wouldn't be, you know, the Clink wouldn't be as successful as it is. We wouldn't have stories
and big
of redemption.
Props from you because what you're doing too is... very inspiring.
I appreciate that, brother. And look, I truly do. I think it doesn't work, though, without wonderful guests like yourself, you know, and all the guests that we've had
stop
on.
Stop it, mate. Stop it.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. You know, I'm just one person.
You got me crying on here.
We might wrap it up there and I'll give you a big hug and we can get offline and have a proper fucking chat. Hey?
Thanks, brother.
James Casina. Thank you very much for coming in and sharing your story and obviously wearing your heart on your sleeve and opening up about some very, very deep, deep emotional times in your life. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been The Clink, Stories of Redemption.
Real men cry.
Real men cry. You! Fuck.
For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable.
That's right.
For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you.
That's right.
For the record, lab on me going all the way.
All the way.
For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste.
Stop calling.
For the record, for the record, yeah. For the record, yeah. For the record, yeah. For the record, for the record.
Want to thank a new sponsor who's just come on board, Dr. Pickles Tattoo Aftercare and Lifestyle Products. They're made in Brisbane and are known right around the world. They have this amazing balm. It's called the Original Tattoo Balm. You seal and protect your tattoo with the OG. I've just been using it on my leg after I had it done, and I tell you now, my skin feels amazing and there's a great shine to it. They also have an antiseptic spray you can spray on and wipe over your tattoo to keep it nice and clean so you don't get any infections. They've got a 3-in-1 wash. It's all natural, smells great. packed full of peppermint, citrus, and wait for it, hemp oils. How good is that? Plus, they have a SPF 50 sunscreen, which acts as a moisturizer as well as protecting your tattoos from fading and stop them from getting sun damage. Right now, though, for the Clink listeners, they're offering 15% off with the code CLINK. Just head to drpickles.com. That's drpickles.com.